Prime Minister Julia Gillard may have passed a big milestone with the passage of the mineral resources rent tax this week, but stage two of that project, spreading around all the extra cash, is going to take some time to bed down. Meanwhile, it seems that the pollies are getting tossed out of the house for relatively minor misdemeanours. What is going on? To help explain, we're joined by Laura Tingle, political editor with the Australian Financial Review. Laura, thanks for joining us.
G'day, Jonathan.
Now, it's taken some time to get us a mining tax. It killed Kevin Rudd, but it didn't kill Julia Gillard.
It almost killed her, I think. It's taken 2 years and a Prime Minister to get the mining tax, Jonathan, and, of course, huge concessions on the way through. The Treasury put out some estimates Freedom of Information requests revealed that the concessions that were made by Julia Gillard after she took over from Kevin Rudd were worth about $60 billion in revenue over 10 years, and some estimates are even higher than that. So there's a big question mark as the tax starts about how much is actually going to be collected. And as you say, there's this whole range of offsetting measures which the tax was designed to fund and thus spread the benefits of the boom around the economy.
Well, they're sort of in limbo, aren't they?
Well, some of them are in limbo, some of them are all bedded down, if you like. The crucial thing that wasn't in the package of mining tax legislation which passed through the Senate earlier this week was the company tax cuts, which were supposed to be coming. Now, originally the grand plan had been that everybody would get a tax cut on company tax rates from 30 to 25. That ended up being a rather measly 1 percentage point to 29 cents. This is going to be an interesting issue. The Greens, there's something fishy going on here, Jonathan. I'm not sure what it is. I don't know whether Clive Palmer's onto it either, but, you know, it might be...
he'll have a theory, probably.
He'll have a theory. But there's a whole range of different measures, most notably the instant tax write-off for small business has been approved. But the big brawl in the last 24 hours has been about what happens to superannuation.
Now, this seems extraordinary that we've all heard that the mining tax is going to fund an increase. Well, fund, that's the key word, I guess, a 3% increase in the employer contribution. But that groundwork doesn't seem to have been done. I mean, the government's just assumed that employers will pay.
Well, I think the original manifestation of this was that the company tax cut
would compensate for that.
Would help compensate for the superannuation payment, but of course, you know, it's also supposed to be helping them deal with the patchwork two-speed, three-speed economy as well. So, a very measly tax cut supposed to be doing a lot of things. It should be said that the superannuation increase from 9% to 12% doesn't start until next financial, until 2013-14. So it doesn't start until then, and then it only comes up in gradual increments. It's starting with a 0.25 percentage point increase to 9.25% from that year. And the government is saying, look, this is something that should be negotiated as a part of a wage deal. Employers and also in Fair Work Australia determinations, that it's basically up to employers to say, well, we'll be paying this, and therefore we won't be paying you as much of a salary increase. But I think it's one of those rude shock moments when mining tax went through and everybody suddenly went, hey, wait a minute, where did this superannuation thing come from? We're all a bit shocked by this, and people haven't really focused on it.
10 past the hour, talking politics with Laura Tingle. I mean, the tax cuts and so on are a really important part here, aren't they? Because the attractive thing in part about the mining tax is that it starts to smooth out some of the great economic patchwork, this bridges between the two-speed economy, and without those cuts, that effect is lost.
Well, that's right. You start to wonder how they can actually claim that it's smoothing out anything. It's interesting, if you look back at the rhetoric of the government on this, particularly in the last 6 to 8 months, they've actually been pushing this idea about the instant tax write-off, which is something where if you're a small business which is incorporated and there are various other conditions attached and you make a big capital outlay up front, you can get an immediate write-off on that in the next tax year. You start to say, well, why weren't they talking about the company tax cuts as well? This is a bit odd. And it's probably because the Greens have always been arguing that there would be trouble on these company tax cuts. And I have to admit, like a lot of other people in Canberra, I hadn't actually focused on the fact that the company tax cuts legislation wasn't in the mining tax package until a couple of weeks ago. So it's all sort of snuck up on people. And as you say, without those company tax cuts, small as they are, there isn't much of a package here. I think what we're looking at, though, Jonathan, is a bit of a reworking behind the scenes of the entire tax package. There's a business advisory panel that's looking at these things at the moment about new measures and more effective measures and the like. And I think it may be that we end up seeing the tax cut quietly disappear off the table and replaced by something else.
So the government wouldn't be fiddling with legislation and policy on the fly?
Well, of course, they haven't actually introduced the legislation on the company tax cut. They released an exposure draft, but they've also, once one has alluded to the fact that there's all this work being done by the Business Tax Advisory Group, which looks at all sorts of other offsets, and it's possible that they might end up coming up with a package in the budget where they're saying, well, we've actually come up with a much better idea, there will be some other sort of offset. But we all know in our heart of hearts that whatever's happening, they don't have all that much money. So there is a suspicion that it probably suits them in a way that the company tax cuts aren't in law yet anyway.
All of which takes us rather neatly to the unique imagination of Clive Palmer. Have we, as the days worn on, have we had any substantiation of his claim that the Greens are in fact either funded by the CIA or Chaos or Smirsch or somebody else?
The Greens have been accused of a lot of things over being funded by the CIA.
That's a goodie.
Left even them gobsmacked, I think.
Now we know why Clive Palmer wanted a bauxite mine. It's to make his tin hats.
That's right. I think what has emerged is that the somewhat dubious link is that there is a philanthropic group in the US based on one of America's richest families. I'm having a mental blank here, but I'm pretty sure it's the Rockefellers.
I think that's right.
They have made some sort of contributions towards Greenpeace and various other groups over the years. And Clive Palmer has read a report which says that that this group has been a front for the CIA and thus the tenuous links. But he's had to backtrack a fair bit. A few people have suggested that they might sue him because they don't like the suggestion that they're being funded by the CIA, and it's all got somewhat messy, and it's not exactly Clive Palmer's day of great glory, you'd have to say.
Just finally, yesterday the Treasurer was booted from the House during question time for calling Andrew Robb curly, one of the Three Stooges, and Joe Hockey got the flick as well in a fairly feisty session. Is the slipper honeymoon coming to an end? Is he cracking down?
There are a couple of ways of looking at this, Jonathan. I mean, most people outside politics and quite a lot of them inside politics just think that question time has just become such an absolute joke and so completely demeaning and depressing because of the way people behave. So you can say on the one hand Peter Slipper is trying to lift standards, but I think there's a little bit of concern that he's starting to enjoy throwing people out a little bit too much. But neither side has really been doing much to lift the standards. I think I can't sort of really see the problem with him actually trying to do that. I think it's probably something that most people would give him a tick for.
I think we congratulate him quietly. I mean, it's been a somewhat more civil house, but we will see how things unfold in the next budget sittings. Laura Tingle, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Laura Tingle is political editor with the Australian Financial Review.